I like the way your version of the Bible puts it, Danny, the New King James Version. Is that right? I didn't know we were supposed to love the church. If you look through chapter 4 or chapter 3 in your Bible, again, there's no mention of the cross, is there? He talks about laying down his life, that Jesus laid down his life for us. And I assumed what he was talking about was Jesus dying on the cross. So I went back to my handy dandy Greek New Testament and I went to see what another word might have been. And I looked at this word right here, life. Now I expected when I went to my Greek New Testament to find the word bios there. Bios is the Greek word that we get words like biology from. That is our physical life, our heartbeat. That is our bios. Jesus laid down his bios on the cross for us. But the word is not bios in the Greek. The word is psyche, where we get psychology and psyche from. Yes, I believe Jesus laid down his bios on the cross. But what John is telling us here is that Jesus laid down more than just his physical life. He laid down his lifestyle, his mindset. Everything that he had ever come to know before, Jesus laid that down for us. And we are called to do the same. Now, it looks like if you just take this as being Jesus' physical life, that John is somewhat ADD. John can't maintain a consistent stream of thought throughout his writings because he goes from this thought about laying down your life to giving of your possessions to other people. You know, it's that ADD John, just like that ADD Paul that we read about in the New Testament. It goes from one thing to another, popcorn ideas here and here. But when we understand this as Jesus laying down his psyche, his psyche, his mindset, his lifestyle, then we begin to make the connection that Jesus is calling us to do the same for those in need. Now, I think we can better understand this if we turn to some of Paul's writing from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And maybe I should warn you now. Last week we had one of those sermons that was just like a big old bear hug. You remember that? You like that? We heard stories. It was kind of cute. I told stories about my kids. This week's story is not so much. It's an intellectual thinking sermon. We're going to get a few more verses here, and you'll be challenged. But Philippians 2, 5 through 8, it lays out what it means for Jesus to lay down his psyche life. Paul writes, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." In this passage, we find Jesus laying down his psyche and his bios. The Gospel of John is very concerned with showing how Jesus is what we call pre-existent. There was never a time when Jesus did not live. There was never a time when Jesus did not exist. Jesus has always been with God in heaven. From the very beginning, there was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was in heaven with God. But Jesus humbled himself. He laid that lifestyle, that mindset, that perfection as he knew it, aside and came here on earth to be with us. And we are called to lay our psyche, our mindset, our lifestyle aside to help those who are in need. So that's why John says in verses 17 through 18, as soon as he's done saying about setting your life aside, he says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Now, I'm not sure which is easier. Is it easier to lay aside your bios, your physical life? Or would it be easier to lay aside your lifestyle, your mindset, everything that you've ever come to know in order to help others in need? I don't think we should skip over this too quickly, because this is a huge challenge for us as followers of Jesus Christ. He is saying, if you have stuff and somebody else is in need, you must lay aside your lifestyle, if called to do so, to help that person. Now, there's an interesting wordplay here when he says, if anybody has the material possessions, if anybody has material possessions, some of your translations probably say worldly possessions or something of that nature. And the reason that's so confusing is because what John says there is anyone who has bios and sees a person in need and doesn't help is not a follower of Jesus, is not in the love of God. And what he's saying there is, if you have worked all of your life, if you have accumulated great riches, if you've had a lifetime of accumulation, but yet you see somebody in need, somebody struggling, and you don't help them, then you don't have the love of God within you. We are called to change our mind, change our life, change everything we've ever come to know in order to help other people. We're called to follow Jesus, who did not consider it too much of a sacrifice to lay down perfection in heaven to join us here on earth, so that he might show us how to live and provide the atoning sacrifice for us on the cross. It was huge for him, and that's a huge challenge for us here today. Now, over the years, I've been involved with several different churches. And I'm glad to say that of all the churches that I've been a part of, that this is one of the most generous churches that I've ever seen. You know, we're a pretty small group, and we have a really small budget. But the people in this church are so generous. You give so much, and it's not just financial. Don't just hear me saying money, money, money. I don't want your money. Don't think that I'm here trying to get your money. If you give more money to the church, it doesn't go in my pockets. Because this church is a bit of a funnel, and that money comes in, and the money can go back out. But it's more than just money. It's about time and commitment. Whenever somebody is sick in this church, what do? Out on the bulletin board, we put up a sign and say, if you can bring a meal to somebody, please sign up, take them a meal. Our daughter Hadley was born 6 weeks ago today. And up until this week, we've had people bringing us meals each week. And it's not because you think that we are too poor to afford food. Obviously, it's not the case. I'm eating well, and I thank you for that. But you realize that there's another quantity, another commodity that's lacking in our life right now. What is that commodity? Anyone want to guess? Time, sleep, yes, diapers, right? Who said diapers? We go through those too. You saw that need in our life. We could use some extra time. So people have signed up to bring us meals and share of the wealth that you have. And I use wealth because we are all very much blessed. We can't deny that. If you look at third world countries, we are all truly blessed with many, many things. So you share a little bit of your time. And by bringing us a meal, you save us at least an hour in preparing something for ourselves. Maybe even more. If you save us from having to go to the grocery store, you're saving us probably a couple hours. And we use that time to spend with the children and feed them and burp them and bathe them and put them to sleep. And maybe sometime, ideally, we could take a nap as well. Hasn't happened yet, but maybe sometime it'll happen. So you all, see if my mouse comes back here, have been great at sharing meals with us. And I thank you. We are wonderful here as a church, as caring for the people within this congregation. We take care of ourselves, don't we? Look at each other, left and right. If you're on one side, look at the other. Those are the people that we're called to love. We care for one another. And if you've ever been sick, you've probably seen something like that show up at your front door without asking. That's amazing. That's wonderful. And I am so thankful to be a part of a church that is willing to share food and time with one another. Now, what John is writing in 1 John chapter 3, the reason I emphasize this brethren and sistren aspect of it is that John is talking about helping people in the church. This is about how we help fellow believers. But we know by reading the rest of the Bible that it's more than just that. This generosity isn't supposed to stay within these four walls of the church building. If you read through Matthew chapter 25, there's a section of Scripture simply known as the sheep and the goats. I'm not sure which one I would want to be by that description. I guess sheep are better, right? Sheep, we want to be sheep. Goats doesn't sound too appealing. But we talk about in the sheep versus the goats how Jesus goes through and he talks to people at Judgment Day. And he asks them, did you help the hungry? Did you help the thirsty? Did you clothe the naked? Did you visit those who are in prison? And when people say yes, Jesus said, well, you did that for me as well. You didn't just feed them, you were feeding me. And we as the church have adopted this understanding of what it means to be generous. So not only are we generous to us, ourselves as a congregation, we are generous to our community as well. We support SACRA, the Stanton Augusta Church Relief Association, or something like that. This is an organization where churches can contribute money. And when people in the community aren't able to pay their water bills or electric bills, when they get cut off notices, the money is pooled together and people are able to go to SACRA to receive a little bit of help. And that's a huge benefit because sometimes there are people that, you know, want to try to go around to each church and try to get a little bit of money from every congregation. But SACRA is a place that we can send our money to, and they say, well, we can help you out this often, we can help you out this much, and they have these records. I think it's a beautiful organization, a wonderful organization, and I'm glad that we contribute money from our budget each year to SACRA. Now, we also have a representative from our church, Joyce Showalter. She's on the board for SACRA. Because we contribute money each year, we have a board member. I think it's a wonderful organization, and we think we should get to know them a little bit better. But there's more that we help out with in our community. And I'm going to throw a lot of alphabet soup at you here, a lot of letters. I'll explain them all. SACRA, WRE. WRE is weekday religious education. We as a church believe that there's a need for spiritual teaching within our schools. So we contribute money from our budget each year to help support weekday religious education. We see this need outside of our church, and we try to be generous and help them. VMC and VMM, Virginia Mennonite Conference and Virginia Mennonite Missions. Each year we have a donation, two donations each year to these both of these organizations. And VMC is an organization that is like this collective group of congregations in the Virginia area. And we try to support these congregations. Sometimes the smaller congregations really need help because they aren't able to support pastors. So we have this group of cluster of churches that come together for equipping and teaching and learning and celebrating and worshiping together, known as Virginia Mennonite Conference. Virginia Mennonite Missions is our mission organization. This is the sending body. We send a lot of money to VMM because it costs a lot of money to send somebody to India. Yesterday, the women met in Harrisonburg and they learned about some of the exciting things that are going on with the Virginia Mennonite Missions. I think it was Bangladesh. There's a woman from Bangladesh that shared about her time and her work that she has been doing, all because we send money to VMM, which sends her to Bangladesh, which touches somebody's life halfway around the world. I can't even point out Bangladesh on a map. I get excited about this stuff. The money that I just dropped in the plate is going to help somebody in Bangladesh? That's amazing to me. Because we are generous with this money and funds, we can help somebody miles and miles away. 10,000 Villages. We have people that volunteer with this organization that sells fairly traded crafts from, again, halfway around the world, places like Bangladesh. And you can go into the store and you can purchase something and you know that that money is not being pocketed by some rich person sitting in an office somewhere. It's going to the person, the artisan that spent so much time and energy making a craft. It's a beautiful organization. I love 10,000 Villages. And I can keep going. Meals on Wheels. We have somebody that delivers meals to the hungry. People that can't get out and get their own groceries, can't afford to go buy their own meals. They bring meals to that person. Wonderful organization. MDS, Mennonite Disaster Service. I love MDS. People from our congregation have gone to various places that have experienced storms and hurricanes and tornadoes. They go and they help them to rebuild their homes, rebuild their lives. I love the work of MDS, Mennonite Disaster Services. I should have said MCC, Mennonite Central Committee. We are a huge supporter of MCC. MCC, every year we have this relief sale and people build things with their hands and they put hours into making tables and stools and chairs. They donate that. They're auctioned off. People make stitchery work of quilts. Beautiful things. And they're auctioned. It's all because you are willing to give of yourself, of your time, of your money. And that money goes out to help people who are suffering, people who are in need. And you can, hopefully you can sense it. I'm excited about all that we do as a congregation. And it's not very humble to do this, but let's do it anyways. Can we give ourselves a round of applause? Oh, breathe, Kevin. Thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Anytime you help the least of these, Jesus says, you have helped him. We've done great things for the kingdom of God. You have done great things for the kingdom of God. You have taken these words seriously. If you see a brother or sister in need and you refuse to help them when you have the means to do so, the love of God is not in you. By that short list there, I can see that that's not the case. The people of Stanton Mennonite Church have the love of God within them. You have the love of God within you. And that gets me excited. That makes me proud to say I am your pastor. VMM, I'll just say this quick. VMM and VMC, Virginia Mennonite Conference of Virginia Mennonite Missions, our giving towards them put us in the top tier of per member giving for last calendar year. Our church did that. And when the president of Virginia Mennonite Missions comes up and thanks me personally, I am proud. And I know pride's a sin, but it's hard not to be proud when you all are so generous. Thank you for giving to the Lord. But I want to say this. Now that I've built you all up so much, I'm going to say this about myself. I can do more. I know that there's more that I can do to help people. I know that I have money that I could share with those who are in need. I know that I have an addiction to the newest technology, the newest fancy device that comes out. I know that I don't need it, but yet I feel like I need. I've got a laptop. I've got a tablet computer. I've got all of these things that I feel like I need. I need this. I need more. It comes out on the market. I've got to have that. No, I don't. I could use those funds to help another person. A person that might not be able to put food on their own table. I could give that money for them to eat. It seems a little selfish on my part. So I'm not saying that you can do more, because I don't know if you can or not. It's not my place to judge if you can do more. But I know I can do more. And I believe that we here at Stanton Mennonite Church, situated at 2405 3rd Street, that perhaps we are in an excellent position to do more for our community. You know, if you look around, we're not really in the nicest part of town. There's some nice houses around here, no doubt about that. And I'm sure our neighbors are wonderful people, but there's some need within our community. If we just go a couple blocks, what would that be, to the southeast, we come to the Valley Mission. And the Valley Mission, I think, is a wonderful organization. They provide food and they provide shelter for the homeless people in our community. I think they do 3 hot meals a day. And I wonder, is there some way that we as a congregation can help with the ministry of the Valley Mission? Could we set aside one evening a month to feed the hungry people? Could we set aside one day a month to clean up when it's all done? Could we cook in our own homes and bring the food together to share with people? I'm getting a no. Maybe that's not the policy. But there's more that we can do. I'm sure of that. And I think it's a wonderful organization. The Valley Mission is a Christ-centered organization. They have two worship services every week. They have one going on right now, and they have a worship service on Thursday evening. I'm wondering, is it possible for us to get together some sort of a worship team to go and worship with the people at Valley Mission? There's so many different things that we could do to help those who are in need in our community. But it's not just the Valley Mission. I think about what's behind me here, about two blocks up the hill. We have Shelburne Middle School. No woo-hoos from Leah. Shelburne Middle School and Ware Elementary, which is fun with my neighbor girl because she goes to Ware Elementary School, and I always ask her, where do you go to school? She says, where? I said, where? Where? we're on the same level. She's in elementary school. But we have many opportunities to help people at Ware and Shelburne. I know there's a need for tutors. We have people who are teachers here in this congregation, some of who are retired teachers. There's many opportunities to improve the lives of kids just up the road. And I think about the physical facilities there. We could easily get together a work group and go and mulch the facilities sometime, do some work on the exterior of those schools. Maybe slap on some paint. Is that so hard? And I think if we can improve the physical facilities, maybe kids will want to go to school a little bit more. Maybe they would be proud of going to school. Maybe they would want to do a little more studying. And there's no limit to how much we could change the lives of individuals just by investing a little bit of time. And often, one thing that I've wanted to do, in the wintertime when it's so cold, we often get moms and dads that are parked out here in our parking lot picking up children after school. And the kids walk down the hill, and some of them live in their community around here. Man, I would just love to make up some hot chocolate one day a week to give to the students as they walk home from school, to give to the parents whenever they're waiting, and just say, here's a cup of hot chocolate in the name of Jesus. You know, Matthew 25 talks about offering a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. I think a cup of hot chocolate has the same effect. Showing the love of God by giving of ourselves. Giving of our finances, giving of our time, giving of our very being. Because John tells us if we're not willing to sacrifice a little bit of who we are, a little bit of our mindset, a little bit of our psuche, then the love of God is not in us. I want to help more. I hope that you will help more as well. But you see, above all, and I know I can be a little idealistic, I know you're probably thinking, Kevin, you can't help everybody. There's only so much money to go around. I get that. I understand that. But I think above all, that I want us to be the kind of congregation that continues to take care of ourselves. Not that we do that at the expense of helping other people, but I want to make sure that we first and foremost take care of the people in this congregation. Because I want to make a commitment today that I won't let any of you go without the most basic necessities in life. There shouldn't be a person here at Stanton Mennonite Church that can't pay their electric bill or their water bill, can't buy new clothes when they need them, or can't put food on the table. And I've heard of churches that have unofficial statements that nobody within their congregation will ever have to go without these basic necessities. And I think that's a wonderful thing to have this unwritten rule, this assumed rule, but I think we can go a little bit further. I want to make it doctrine, make it dogma that nobody in our church should ever have to do without. Am I way off base here? No, thank you. We shouldn't have to deal without the most basic of necessities. Now, I'm not saying that if you need that new plasma screen TV that is as big as you, 72-inch plasma screen TV, don't come to me and say, Kevin, I need this. But you said you're not going to make anybody go without the most basic needs, and I need this plasma TV. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about communism or socialism. I'm talking about mutual aid. helping those who are in need. And if you do buy that plasma screen TV and you can't pay your electric bill, I'm not necessarily just going to pay your electric bill for you, but I will help you sell that plasma screen TV on Craigslist. I will put it on eBay or help you get it to the pawn shop. Because I think we must practice good stewardship as well. I know that this being generous is a wonderful idea. I know it's a difficult concept to actually live out. But I think that as followers of Jesus Christ, we can't ignore this teaching. Let's commit to make sure that each one of us doesn't have to go without the most basic needs met. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. Well, I want to end today by looking at the first verse of our scripture for this morning. Because I like to end by confusing everybody thoroughly. That's always my goal. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. If you love someone, you've passed from death to life. But yet, if we look at verse 16 again, it says you must be willing to lay down your life for other people. So are we just dying or living to die? Or what is this about? Ah, John, thank you so much for that confusing point to end on. No, I want to say this. True life is only found when we die to the ways of this world and commit to following Jesus. The life that we are called to lay down is a life of selfishness, a life of greed, a life that always looks out for number one and isn't willing to care for other people. But in laying down that life, we pick up a new life, a life of following Jesus, a life of abundance, a life that's worth sharing. John tells us that if we have the goods of this world and we see a brother or sister in need and we aren't willing to share with them, then we don't have the love of God within us. I know that you as a church, as individuals, have that love of God within you. And I hope that we can make that love manifest in the city of Stanton. I hope that we can show that love to everyone who is in need, everyone who is suffering, everyone that has had to do without. And I know that that's a bit of a pipe dream. I know that's a bit of an idealistic perspective. But I think if together as the church, universal, not just this church, but all of the churches, if we were to work together for this common goal, we would make a huge impact in the world around us. We would help work for the kingdom. And anytime we can do this kind of work, it is for the glory of God. And we can make Jesus known through all the world. Let's pray. God, you have called us to lay down the ways of this world, our small-minded thinking, and to think for the bigger picture, to think about the love that you have for others and to love them with the same heart. Help us, Lord, to know how to do that better. Help us to know how to practice good stewardship, how to practice mutual aid, how to do the things that you've called us to do. It's not easy, Lord, but I hope that we're up for the challenge. In Jesus' name, amen.